Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
Why should I be so fortunate? I mean, I still don't know why my life was spared. But I accept it. I'm glad of it.
Ashland resident Bob Hart survived Kentucky's worst air disaster 46 years ago. This afternoon, he remembers TWA Flight 128.
Two people are hurt in a truck-train collision in Ashland.
And there's a summit in Grayson tomorrow on the future of Carter County.
In sports, the Reds open a series tonight at Wrigley Field against the Cubs.
Bud Luke has the stock market.
Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight with lows of about 67. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
The Ashland Independent reports that two people are hospitalized following a truck-train collision in Ashland this morning. The accident happened about 10:30 near 19th and Front Streets at the entrance to Mansbaugh Metal Company. That's a recycling firm for metals. The paper quotes Boyd County EMS Director Tom Adams as saying both persons, a man and a woman, were taken to St. Mary's Medical Center in Huntington. WBOY-TV reports that the injuries are non-life-threatening.
The Mount Sterling Advocate is reporting that a Montgomery County murder trial has been moved to Moorhead and will begin September 16th. The paper says the change of venue for the Base Web trial has the result of a joint agreement between Commonwealth's attorney Ronnie Goldie and the Public Defender's Office. Webb is accused of strangling Sabrina Marie Vaughn in a Jeffersonville apartment in 2003. Her remains were found in Powell County 3 years ago. Webb has already been sentenced to 50 years in prison for the killing of a Harrison County woman in 2009.
A fire in Sawyersville late Saturday night destroyed one of the city's signature businesses. Red's Boot Barn went up in flames shortly after 10 o'clock. Steve Risner is a member of the fire department. He spoke with WYMT.
There was flames already showing at the south end of the building. They had already vented through the roof. It's a tremendous loss. There's lots and lots of inventory here, and it's just one of our businesses here in this little small town.
Firefighters are not sure what caused the blaze, but say it appears to have started in the south end of the building. It remains under investigation.
A federal judge has upheld a $338,000 verdict against the website TheDirty.com, saying its operator played a significant role in developing the content that libeled a former Cincinnati Bengals cheerleader. U.S. District Judge William Bertelsmann today concluded that the site and its founder are not exempt from responsibility for what is posted under the Federal Communications Decency Act. High school teacher Sarah Jones of Kentucky sued the website over a 2009 post that accused her of having a sexually transmitted disease. Jones later pleaded guilty to having sex with her 17-year-old former student while working at a Northern Kentucky high school. The two have since said they will get married.
When Governor Beshear called a special session this month on legislative redistricting, he left open the possibility that judicial districts could be addressed as well. The Kentucky Supreme Court last year certified the need for two family court judgeships in Davis County. Chief Justice John Minton says family court positions have not made it into the budget in previous sessions.
The money has not been allocated. The budgets have been so strained in the last few years that expansion of any sort has been put on hold. I've not met with resistance from legislators in terms of the need. It's just a matter of the funding.
71 of Kentucky's 120 counties have family courts. In counties that don't, circuit judges hear family cases regarding adoption, paternity, and domestic violence, among other issues.
The 12th Street Bridge in Ashland was reopened over the weekend. The structure was closed as a precaution in late May when a truck reportedly smashed into a steel support beam on the Ohio approach span. Crews worked over the weekend to replace it. In the meantime, though, Ashland City Commissioner Cheryl Sprigg says the resulting tri-state traffic congestion probably hurt businesses in Kentucky.
I think that there has been some impact on those businesses, at least the ones I've talked to. But still, I'm telling you, go in one of our restaurants here. I mean, it's standing room only a lot of times. And I would say mostly that the owners and managers notice it more than the general public would.
A truck driver from South Point, Ohio, has been cited in the accident. He faces charges of failure to control and leaving the scene in Ironton Municipal Court.
A spokesman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says the reopening of the 12th Street Bridge in Ashland does not quite complete the cabinet's work there. Alan Blair says because the 13th Street Bridge was used for two-way traffic while the other structure was closed, temporary striping on it has to be removed.
That single lane across the 13th Street Bridge was delineated with some striping. That needs to be removed, and it will take a couple of days this week to do. It will just be a very short time that that lane will be closed on the 13th Street Bridge.
In light of the ongoing work, Blair is asking motorists using the bridges to exercise extra caution.
Ashland City Commissioner Larry Brown says he's willing to explore options for changing the city's bus routes and operations, but the city cannot replace federal dollars that have been reduced for public transportation. Commissioners last week heard an appeal from a city resident who claims elimination of Saturday service has hurt thousands of people who depended on buses. Brown says commissioners' decision to park the transit fleet on Saturday was due to federal cuts, and there isn't much Ashland can do about that. He says the city can only make the most of what it's given.
There are some routes, obviously, that are not being utilized like they should, and they're not paying for themselves. So we need to take a look at that again, but we're limited to the federal funding that's available to us.
Brown says city administrators are always monitoring the bus service to determine which days and routes are getting the most use.
Nearly 118,000 people visited Ashland's Paramount Arts Center during the last fiscal year, and almost 40% of them were from out of state. Those figures are from the PAC's executive director, Kathy Centerman. She says the financial impact on the community was about $6 million.
That's based on the amount of money visitors. When I said we had over 45,000 out-of-state visitors, they're spending the night in a hotel. They're eating at restaurants. Of course, so are locals. They're buying their gas here. And it's a multiplier that the state actually comes up with to define how much you attribute to an out-of-town visitor versus a local.
Centerman also says about 52,000 students attended a performance at the Paramount over the past year.
Organizers hope a public summit meeting slated for tomorrow at the Grayson Conference Center will help unify the residents of Eastern and Western Carter County in efforts to improve their area. The gathering will be hosted by an 11-person group known as the Carter County Community Partners, and it begins at 9 a.m. The partners will discuss the results of their recent countywide survey that asked Carter Countyans their thoughts about such things as jobs, economic development, housing, entertainment, and education. State Representative Jill York of Grayson is among the officials who will attend the summit, and she says it's a good idea.
Community leaders and folks that are active with various organizations are seeing the need to get on the same page and make sure that there's a unified movement forward for Carter County. And, real pleased that Mark Strother with the Grayson Chamber and some other folks around town have kind of taken the bull by the horns and got this initiative started.
York believes that the summit is a good first step in what will be a long-running process of improving things in Carter County.
Morehead State University is looking at another record enrollment this year for first-time freshmen. According to the school's assistant vice president for enrollment services, Jeffrey Lyles, MSU expects 1,700 newcomers to show up for the fall semester, up from last year's total of 1,649. Lyles says a lot of people on campus can take credit for the increase.
We have faculty who load up on vans and go to events all over the state to meet with students and parents where they are. Our marketing efforts, people have seen the commercials and they relate to those. When students and parents come to campus, they realize there's a lot more here than they might have expected. The faculty staff are very friendly and helpful. It's a great community.
Morehead State University's overall enrollment has been in the neighborhood of 11,000 students over the past 2 years.
Morehead State's police department is gearing up for the university's freshman move-in day. That's when hundreds of freshmen, along with their relatives and friends, will be invading the school's campus to unload their belongings and get into their dorm rooms. MSU Police Chief Matt Spark says his department has already finished its pre-planning for the event, and he'll be mobilizing every available officer.
We actually use about everybody we have. The only people here that we don't use are a couple of midnight guys. You know, we don't want to have them out all day and all night, too. So We have 16 sworn officers, so we use 14 of our sworn officers, plus we have four other non-sworn officers. So we use every all hands on deck, so to speak, except for those couple midnight shift officers.
Sparks says outside of some issues last year with the traffic flow around landlocked Nunn Hall, things during MSU's freshman move-in day has gone pretty smoothly during the 5 years that he's been the university's police chief.
150 high school freshmen are launching a new chapter of education in downtown Lexington. The first class of the STEAM Academy convenes Wednesday in the former Johnson Elementary School. The academy will offer real-life lessons in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. For example, Academy Director Tina Stevenson says students could get their hands dirty in a community garden.
We're going to do some research about, you know, how to grow some cost-effective tomatoes and invite the community folks to work along with us and pay it forward. Just turn around and give those vegetables to the folks in the community.
The Academy's faculty will include University of Kentucky educators, and students could eventually earn college credit.
The Kentucky Department of Agriculture is defending a contract it has with the Miss Kentucky program. Stephen Kelly appeared before a legislative panel in Frankfort Friday to answer questions about the $150 per appearance the department pays Miss Kentucky for speaking engagements. Kelly directs the agency's Office of Strategic Planning and Administration. He says the contract is funded through private sources, but it was reduced 2 years ago.
As we went through the budget cuts, it got looked at very hard. Do we want to cut it out? We did reduce this contract by 20% when Commissioner Comer took office, but since this is being funded by private donations and not from our general fund, we feel like it's a good program.
The current Miss Kentucky, Jenna Day, says the speaking fees are part of a scholarship program that is capped at $20,000. She says she spoke to 55,000 children on behalf of Kentucky Food Products last year.
And finally this afternoon, later this month, Kentuckians will mark the 7th anniversary of the crash of Comair Flight 5191 at the Bluegrass Airport in Lexington. The August 27th accident took the lives of every passenger on board that plane, 49 in all, plus two crew members. Despite the magnitude of that tragedy, it was not the worst air disaster in Kentucky history. That distinction belongs to TWA Flight 128, which crashed in Hebron, Kentucky, on November 20, 1967, as it attempted to land at the Greater Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Airport. The mishap killed 70 people, but 12 survived. One of them was Bob Hart of Ashland. He was 42 years old that fateful day. He was seated near the tail of the plane and recalled the accident last week for Ashland City Commissioners.
My wife, when they announced that there were some survivors, she was at the airport, and when they announced that there were some survivors, she said she knew I would be among them. And I said, "What gave you that idea?" And she says, "Well, you always told me the safest part of the plane was the rear section, and I knew that you were in the rear of the plane."
Hart is 88 years old today. The World War II veteran doesn't know why his life was spared, but is grateful that it was. Hart says he has never been afraid to fly and isn't today. The only thing that bothers him now, he says, is all the security checks required to board a plane.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area, including Montgomery, Robertson, and Greenup counties. Tonight, showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms with lows of around 67 degrees. Chance of rain, 60%. Tomorrow, a chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Cloudy with a chance of showers later with highs near 82 degrees. Chance of rain is 50%. And for your Wednesday, sunny with highs in the upper 70s. Currently in Ashland, it's 79 degrees. Flemingsburg, 75 degrees. Winchester, 74 degrees. Lexington, 77 degrees. Inez, 78 degrees. And in Moorhead, it is currently 74 degrees.
It is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Moorhead State University Professor Rick Carrick. He wonders if the recent Fancy Farm political picnic was the beginning of the end for Mitch McConnell.
The Fancy Farm political picnic in western Kentucky is usually known for its mutton sandwiches, cheering partisans, and zingy one-liners like Allison Grimes claiming that Senator Mitch McConnell would refuse even to pass a kidney stone. but the 2013 Fancy Farm will be best known for the circling sharks. There was a sense among politicians, journalists, and casual observers alike that Senator Kidneystone, I mean Mitch McConnell, is weak and could be defeated by either Tea Party rival Matt Bevin in the Republican primary or Grimes in the general election. McConnell's vulnerability was the main reason why there were so many reporters from the national media, why Al Cross was reporting plenty of buzz about Bevin's chances, and why Democratic political junkies were out in full force. McConnell's blood was in the water. But how does a Republican leader, tough campaigner, and super smart politician like Mitch McConnell get into this position? In my opinion, the story begins with love. I moved to Moorhead during McConnell's 1990 reelection campaign, and it didn't take me long to be convinced that the Republican Party was the love of Mitch McConnell's life. The problem for McConnell, though, is that the Republican Party never really loved him back. McConnell was successful as a GOP whip and raised a ton of money as chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, but he never formed the kind of friendships George Bush had with Karl Rove, John McCain has with Lindsey Graham, and Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe had while both were in the Senate. Perhaps this is because Senator McConnell has been a kind of apparatchik. A master of process, McConnell knows how to keep fellow Republicans in line, obstruct and embarrass the Democrats, and shake money out of corporate donors. But he has not been at the forefront of conservative causes like supporting the Iraq War, privatizing Medicare, or opposing abortion rights and gay marriage. A coldly calculating figure, McConnell has never stirred the passions of fellow Republicans. As a result of his unrequited love, Mitch McConnell finds himself in a position where he's trailing Alison Grimes in the polls, several Republican senators are refusing to endorse him, and his own campaign manager claims that he'll be, quote, holding my nose for 2 years, unquote, while working for McConnell. Personally, I think there's a decent chance that McConnell will lose the GOP primary to Matt Bevin's. If Alison Grimes manages to stretch out her lead to 4 points and sustain it, I believe that ultra-conservative groups like the Club for Growth and the Senate Conservative Fund will start pouring money into the Bevin's campaign, and that McConnell's support could easily collapse the same way as other establishment conservatives like Richard Lugar of Indiana and David Dewhurst of Texas. I'm not sure whether a Bevin's primary win would be better or worse for Grimes and the Democrats. I suspect worse. However, I have very serious doubts that Mitch McConnell will be around to obstruct legislation in the next Congress. If that's the case, he won't be missed by anybody.
Dr. Rick Carrick is a professor of international and interdisciplinary studies at Moorhead State University. It is 4:48. Chase has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC provides assistance for technology and innovation-based businesses in East Kentucky, with offices at Moorhead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College. The ICC also provides help to startup businesses by assisting with venture and angel capital, patents, market assessment, fundraising, and more. Additional information at 606-783-9536 and online at kyinnovation.com.
Another important road series for the Reds starts tonight. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. After taking two out of three weekend contests at home against San Diego, it's off to Chicago for the Cincinnati Reds, who start a three-game series with the Cubs tonight at 8:05 at Wrigley Field. They'll be coming back after a thrilling 3-2 13-inning win Sunday over the Padres. Joey Votto won it with a walk-off sac fly, but it was pinch hitter Xavier Paul's two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth that set the stage for Votto's heroics. With the Reds fighting for a postseason berth, Paul says that victory was a big one.
This time of the year, it's clutch. You know, we're trying to get hot and stay hot, and you know, just to be able to win a close game like this, you know. Down the line, those close ball games that we're gonna have to fight through. You know, I think these types of games prepare us for that.
The Reds start the day in third place in the National League Central, 5 games behind first place Pittsburgh. The Pirates have the day off, but they'll start a series with the second place Cardinals tomorrow evening. And one other note from Cincinnati, some good news. The Reds have activated outfielder Ryan Ludwig for tonight's game. He has been out since dislocating his shoulder April 1st after sliding headfirst into third base. Only two games being played in midday action today in Major League Baseball. One is already wrapped up as the A's took down the Blue Jays by a score of 5-1. In the other game, the Rangers received a great effort from Yu Darvish, who had a no-hitter until the eighth inning against the Astros as they lead the Stros 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth. Other notable games from later tonight. In the National League, the Braves will host the Phillies, the Rockies and Padres meet in Colorado, and the Mets and Dodgers square off in L.A. On to the American League, the Yankees welcome in the Angels, the Tigers are in Chicago to play the White Sox, and the Red Hot Royals will host the Marlins. The Lexington Legends have the day off today after a 19-game stretch, which has the Legends sitting atop the South Atlantic Southern League Division. The Legends have compiled a 30-20 record and will kick back up action on the road tomorrow night as they play at the Charleston River Dogs. First-year Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure knows a big improvement over last year's effort by his defense will be a key for the Eagles' hopes for a successful season. The MSUD was ripped for averages of 30 points and 428 yards per game in 2012. And Tenure says significantly trimming those numbers starts with the ability of the Eagles to clamp down on opponents' rushing attack. Tenure is confident that can happen thanks to a new, more aggressive scheme and a veteran line.
I feel good with Rob Lewis coming back and Justin Cox and Ronald Cooper and Aaron Meadows. We've got some young guys at redshirt last year that after spring we're really excited about in that front four. And, of course, you got your leading tackler back in Jordan Hendricks.
The junior linebacker from Columbus, Ohio, last season was a second-team All-PFL selection after registering a school record 123 total tackles. The battle continues to see who becomes Kentucky's quarterback this season. Redshirt sophomore Max Smith is dueling two other sophomores, Patrick Tolles and Jalen Whitlow, for the job. Offensive coordinator Neil Brown has said he'll adjust the Cats' air raid attack to match the abilities of whoever is behind center, but Whitlow says Brown won't have to do much tinkering when he's leading the offense.
I think it's the same. A couple of wrinkles here and there with a couple quarterback runs, but everything else is the same. We're still throwing the ball. Still going to hand it off to our great running backs. I think everything is pretty much the same.
After taking yesterday off from preseason drills, the UK football team got back to work earlier today. The Cincinnati Bengals started off the preseason with a bang this past weekend as they blasted the Falcons by a score of 34-10, but all isn't well for one of the Bengals' key wide receivers. So the speedy Andrew Hawkins went down in practice on August 1st and has been diagnosed with a severe sprained ankle. Even though he showed up to today's practice on crutches, Hawkins says he won't lose any of that speed when the ankle returns to full health.
If I don't have that game, then I'm not back. You know, I'm not going to go out there with, you know, playing at, you know, lineman speed otherwise, and that means I'm not healthy yet. So there's no concern there. I'm just going to rehab it and, you know, work with the trainers. And, you know, I mean, the good thing about it, we have an incredible training staff that is great at situations like these. And I'm going to do everything in my power and, you know, and let God handle the rest.
No surgery is pending for his ankle, and he expects to return sometime this season, but he doesn't have a set time frame at this point. With the 2013 season opener looming for the Rowan County Vikings football team, developing chemistry on defense is a must to make the squad the best it can be. That's according to senior DB Alston Buttry. He says the Vikings have to move as one.
Got to work on our game. Got to get chemistry between the defense, get everybody running the ball, be like brothers on the D. During breaks, we just all hang out together, get real close with people that you aren't close with before, and just become a better team.
Team Green will open up the season on August 24th. And finally, Morehead State volleyball coach Jamie Gordon says he's happy to have Aaron Bohannon back for a fifth season. The senior outside hitter from Amarillo, Texas, was an all-OVC performer last fall. According to Gordon, Bohannon brings a lot to the table for the Eagles, both on and off the floor, and ranks as one of the most well-rounded players that he's ever coached.
Solid ball control and serve receive, resourceful outside, has been at the top of our conference in serving and aces per set, is continually growing as a blocker. So she's a complete player, and being able to have her back with her on-court and off-court leadership is going to be something that will be key to our success this year.
Bohannon is one of seven returnees for Gordon's team, which is continuing preseason workouts this week at Weatherby Gymnasium. That's a wrap for sports. Have a great evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Moorhead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks bounced around the break-even line before ending mixed, and with little in the way of corporate or economic news, investors continued to take a step back. The S&P 500 and the Dow both finished in the red, but the NASDAQ showed a nice gain on the day, really centering around strength in Apple stock. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow showing just a small loss of 5.83 at 15,419.68, and the S&P 500 down 1.95 at 1689.47. And, of course, the NASDAQ composite up 9.84 to finish at 3669.95. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 13 in favor of winning stocks over losing stocks. Gold was up 1.8%, and oil was up 0.4%, so your commodities were strong today. The 10-year Treasury bond was little changed, closing with a yield of 2.6%. BlackBerry stock surged after the company said it will begin exploring strategic alternatives, including selling the company. Of course, once a dominant player in the smartphone market, BlackBerry has struggled recently against competitors like Apple and Samsung. Also, investors are keeping an eye on JCPenney after activist investor Bill Ackman urged the company to replace interim CEO Mike Ullman as soon as possible. The struggling retailer fought back, calling Ackman's public comments inaccurate. George Soros, who owns a 7.9% stake in Penney's, is reportedly backing JCPenney and its board. Dole Food Shares jumped after it approved a plan by CEO David Murdoch to take the company private for $13.50 a share. And, of course, Apple was strong today after the International Trade Commission on Friday banned Samsung from importing or selling several devices that it said infringe on Apple patents. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 68 cents at 90.41, CSX down 30 cents at 25.40, AEP down 31 cents at 44.69, AK Steel up 17 cents at 3.74, Marathon Petroleum down 19 cents at 73.05, and it was Apple up $12.91, finishing at 4.67.36. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms, lows of around 67 degrees, chance of rain is 60%, and tomorrow a chance of thunderstorms in the morning, cloudy with a chance of showers, highs near 82, chance of rain is 50%. It's 79 in Ashland currently, 75 in Flemingsburg, 74 in Winchester, 77 in Lexington, 78 in Inez, and in Moorhead it is 74 degrees.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Mike Williams, Chase Scott, Sam Steyer, and Asa Hosada. Our commentator this afternoon was Moorhead State University Professor Rick Carrick. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.